We're here. We may as well have church. It's not Sunday morning. We had a tremendous move of God Sunday morning. I thank God for what He did for my boy, filling him with the Holy Ghost. So it's just quite of a whirlwind of emotions this week, and I can honestly say I've had a good week this week. And but we had a tremendous move of God Sunday night, but those two services are come and gone. Brother Jordan said it, we might as well just have church. God's the same God as He was Sunday. And I believe there's still people tonight that still need something from God. I'm not naive when I come into a church service to think, well, everybody's got it going on. Nobody has needs. But crowd this size, somebody has a need. Somebody has something that they need to get from the Lord, if not really all of us, if we're honest. I give honor to Pastor Copeland. Love him dearly. And, words would fail to really tell what he means to me. But I honor him highly. Brother Jordan Copeland, love him, honor him. And all the ministry. Brother Azar, good to see him. Feel like I'm in a conference. Got missionaries and pastors. But God's still going to move. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Mark. Book of Mark, chapter number 9 and verse 17. Mark chapter 9 and verse 17 is where I'll begin reading. The Bible says, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Next verse. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I suffer, or how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. I want you to notice this next verse as soon as it comes up. All right, great computer, wrong way. Anyways, the man answered and said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Let's put our Bibles down, let's pray, and ask God to bless the remainder of this service. Lord, we love you today, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. We're so grateful for what you've already done in this place, Lord, for the prayers that have been answered, for the worship that has gone up to you, Lord. We believe that you've been magnified and glorified. And now, Lord, we pray that you would anoint your word, anoint my lips, anoint our ears to hear. We give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. We serve a God that can do the impossible. Well, that was kind of weak. Do you believe you serve a God that can do the impossible? If you're here tonight, it's already been said by several people, if you are here tonight and you have a need, there's no reason why you have to walk out these back doors taking that need home with you. We serve a God that's here to meet your need. We serve a God that's here to help us. We serve a God that can do the miraculous. He can do the impossible, the things that we can't even think of. In fact, the Bible says that now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. I know my mind, I can think of some big things, but God can far exceed abundantly, go far beyond that, and do the miraculous and do the impossible. Can I just let somebody know that you don't have to wait until we all stand and give an altar call for you to come down here and get your whatever God has for you tonight. You know, I've always dreamed, Brother Copeland, I've always thought, even when I was pastoring, I thought, you know, I would love to see the day that people would get so excited like they were in the household of Cornelius, that they say, preacher, you're going too long. You're saying too much. I've got a need. You're talking about this Holy Ghost, and I want that Holy Ghost. You just need to step aside because I want to get what God has for me. And the Bible says, while he yet preached, the Holy Ghost fell. Can I tell somebody in this building tonight that you don't have to wait for me to give an altar call? You don't have to wait for us all to stand in the way that we do things. But if you've got a need and you've got a problem and a situation, at any moment you can come down to these altars, and I promise you we'll stop what we're doing and we'll gather around you and we'll pray and believe God, and God will work something in your life tonight. I'm telling you, God can do the miraculous. God can do the impossible. The Bible says that with God, all things are possible. That's right. All things are possible. Anything can happen. Anything in this house can happen tonight. This man that we read about, evidently had heard about this man called Jesus. I'm amazed at how many times people that did not even know who Jesus was or was not around him would bring their needs to him. It was simply word of mouth. It was simply what they heard that this man could do. But somewhere down the line, this man had heard of what Jesus could do. And so we find him bringing his boy to the master. We find him bringing this situation in front of Jesus. And not going into the story really for the sake of time, but we find a little discourse between Jesus and this man, and Jesus asking, how long has this been going on? And this man responded, as a child. And then his next response was, if you can do anything, would you please have compassion on us? And would you please help us? And then we find Jesus responding, if thou canst believe, anything is possible if you believe. And I find the response of this man after hearing the words of Jesus, I find that these words ring true in not only my own life, but in so many other people that are born again Christians. I believe, Lord. I believe you can do it. I've heard about you casting out devils. I've heard about you healing blinded eyes. I've heard about you unstopping deaf ears. In fact, I've even heard of you raising the dead back to life. I believe that you can do anything. I know you can do it. Perhaps he had some friends. Perhaps he had some relatives that were directly impacted by the ministry of Jesus Christ. But whatever the case was, the story didn't stop with him just simply saying, I believe. But he said, Lord, help mine unbelief. I know you can heal. I know you can deliver, my boy. I know that you can do all these things. But where the rubber met the road in this man's life is he had a hard time believing that God would really do it for him. Am I talking to anybody here tonight? Am I the only one that has ever struggled with this situation of, God, I know that you can do it, but I'm just having a hard time believing that you're going to do it for me, God. I know myself. I know the mistakes I've made, and I'm having a hard time believing that you'll do it for me. Can I just be honest with you tonight? And this is not to embarrass my oldest, but it's to just be transparent with you in my own life. But there'd been so many times that he's been in this altar, and some of you have seen it, some of you have prayed with him, and he was so close to getting the Holy Ghost. It was right there. And it just seemed like it didn't happen. And it became frustrating. And so Sunday morning, God began to move. God began to work. And I saw him down here, and he had his hands up a little bit, and he kind of put them down, and then all of a sudden he started praying with some other people. And I thought, God, he needs the Holy Ghost. Why is he praying for other people? Why is he not up front praying for himself and praying that God would fill him with the Holy Ghost? And I thought, I know that you can do it, God. It's so strong in here, God. You can fill him with the Holy Ghost. And I just felt something. And I went down. I was up in the balcony. We were packed coming out of Sunday school. No place to sit, sitting up there. And I came down to the front, and he was sitting there praying with somebody, and I just walked up in front of him, and I put my hand on his shoulders, and I just said, Hayden, God can give you the Holy Ghost. And he was getting teary-eyed, and he began to pray. We began to pray. I felt God strongly, but all of a sudden, right there, right behind me, was that little, whatever you want to call it, tapping me on the shoulder. It's going to be just like any other service. He's going to get so close, and he's not going to get it. And the struggle of praying, and God, I know you can fill him with the Holy Ghost. And the wrestling with the feelings of, he's done it before. He's going to get so close, and he's going to back off again. And it's not going to happen. And it just kept going. And all of a sudden, Brother Marks came, and he said, let me pray with him. And he got all around him. He was up on the pew, and he'd get down. He would go behind him. He'd go in front of him. It was like a bulldog that was latched onto something, and he wasn't letting go. And he kept praying, and he kept praying, and then telling him, when I lay my hands on you, you're going to start speaking in tongues. You don't speak English. You let God begin to take control. And all of a sudden, it just was like, God, you're going to do it. I just got faith, God, you're going to do it. Help my unbelief, God. Get it out of here. Let me believe you for my boy, God. You've done it for other kids. I've had faith for them. But give me the ability to believe for my own child. It's real. It's a struggle. We're living in a real world. We're living in real flesh. There's questions. There's things that we see, things that we encounter that we know God's able to do it, but we just have a hard time believing that He'll do it for me. It's easy to pray for other people. It's easy to stand up here, even as a preacher, to say, you've got to have faith. You've got to believe God. God can do anything. And you're sitting out in the congregation and saying, yeah, preacher, but you really don't understand what I'm going through. I believe what you're saying. I believe that God's a healer. I believe that God can heal my disease, but you don't know the report that I've got. You don't know what the doctors have said. And it's easy for me to say, like the song says, whose report are you going to believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord, and we can sing that as long as everything's going good. But when we're in the storm, it's a lot harder to lift our hands and say, I'm going to believe your report, God. Oh, I know that He's a deliverer. I know that He's a healer. I know that He's a Savior. But I'm having a hard time getting a hold of this thing. I'm having a hard time believing God will do it for me because I know my past. I know who I am. And that old devil steps up on his little perch and he begins to talk about how bad you used to be and the mistakes that you've made even this week and the arguments that you've had with your spouse or the arguments you've had with your children this week. Why would God want to do something for you tonight? Why would God want to help you? You don't think God sees everything? You don't think God saw what you did? It's a battle. And it hits home. And we struggle with it. We know the story of Job. There's a lot of great insight to his faith, but yet there's a lot of places that we read. You read it. He cursed the day that he was born. He wished he'd never been born. Chapter 1 and chapter 2, we find him worshiping God. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. But then a few chapters later, he's cursing the day that he was born. He struggled. I believe, God. Oh, no, 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 my friends. I haven't done some great sin. I haven't done something wicked. I don't know why this has come on me. He struggled with it. He fought with believing God for himself. I don't know what possibly you're facing today. I don't know what you may be going through. But I would like to let you know that God cares. And God sees and God loves you. And you may find it hard to believe God wants to do it for you, but you need to understand just how precious you are to Him. You see, we find in the Gospels, one writer said that two sparrows were sold for a farthing. Another writer said, are not five sparrows sold for a two farthings? When you do the math, it doesn't come out quite right. If you get two sparrows for one farthing, then automatically you think you should only get four sparrows for two farthings, but you get five sparrows. They say that this was kind of part of the deal. This fifth sparrow was just kind of thrown in to seal the deal. It didn't mean anything. It was worthless. And you may feel like the fifth sparrow tonight. You may feel like that worthless God. I know that you're a great God. I know that you're a powerful God. I know that you can do anything. But you just don't feel like God wants to do it for you. I know God will heal, but I just don't feel like God will heal me. I know God fills people with the Holy Ghost, but I just don't feel like God will fill me with the Holy Ghost. And going back to Hayden, can I tell you the disappointment that I could see in his face when he would become so close and not get it? Don't you think the devil jumps on that and wants to tell you, see there, you'll never get it? I've seen the disappointment on some other people's faces that are here tonight that need the Holy Ghost, that need it. You need to look the devil in the eye and say, God loves me, and God will do it for me. God cares for me. This man, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Luke chapter 12, verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's His good pleasure. He desires it. So many times we come to God like He's got something behind His back and we've got a, oh, I really want that. It's His good pleasure to give it. He's not trying to hide it from us. He's not trying to keep it back from us. He wants to give us good things. He wants to do it. That's how much He loves us. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11, if ye then being evil... The backdrop of that story, he looked at it. He said, if your son asks for a fish, who's going to give him a serpent? If they ask for bread, who's going to give him a rock? And so he said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? He wants to do it. He wants to do it for me. He wants to do it for you. God's done some great things for me this week. God's done some tremendous things. And don't think that I haven't battled with it. It wasn't something that just came easy because of other times when things didn't happen and needing this and it didn't happen the way that I thought it should happen. if we can believe, then anything is possible to him that believes. The Bible says it several times that he's no respecter of persons. Doesn't matter how much money you have tonight. God didn't look and see if you put in the offering tonight. You may have not had anything to put in the offering. He didn't look at you and say, well, they're just not dressed the way that I thought they should be. They didn't wear the right color. They didn't comb their hair just right. They don't have the right name behind them. They don't have the right job. God's no respecter of persons. We're all His children. We all belong to Him. He loves us. He wants to help us. And He will help us. But it's that battle that we face, that we have to get over. I'm about to close. Musicians want to come. I don't know what you're going through. Sometimes you can feel like God doesn't even know your name. Feel like you're non-existent. I've been in those places. Felt like God had forgotten me. Well, I believed He could do all these things, but for some reason, He just didn't want to do them for me. There's a song some of you may have heard it, some of you probably more than not have not heard it. But it's a song entitled, He Saw Me. It was written many years ago by Sister Ewing, Brother Merle Ewing. Some of you may have heard him. His wife wrote the words. Simply says, on the balcony of space stepped a pure and holy God. And in awesome solitude, He stood alone. Not one faint star to give Him light, just endless, rolling, blackest night. But somehow through all the darkness, He could see. He saw mountains high and lofty. He saw valleys lush and green. He saw babbling brooks, wildflowers grow, even heard a robin sing. But He felt a strange compassion, as close to love as pain can be. Standing out there in His tomorrows, He saw me. He saw me. You may feel like you're in darkness. Nobody knows. Nobody understands what you're going through. But can I just tell somebody tonight? Somewhere back in time, before you ever existed. Before there ever was a world. A God of eternity looked out and he saw you. He saw you in your darkness. He saw you in your pain. He saw you in your hopelessness. Can I tell you, that's why Jesus robed himself in flesh. And the song goes on to say that he knew that if we were to become like him, he had to become like us. I want to tell you, God cares where you're at. God cares. God wants to heal. God wants to fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He wants to do it for you. He wants to do it for you. As we all stand tonight, as they play and sing, you don't have to wait, and you don't have to listen to the lies of the devil, because God loves you, and God cares for you, and God wants to do what you need him to do. If you've got a need, why don't you come down to this altar? If you need the Holy Ghost, make your way down to the altar. If you need a healing, you need to come down to this altar, because God sees you. He sees you. Oh, come on, church, let's pray. Let's pray, church, let's pray. Let's pray, church. Hallelujah. Yeah.